At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 519. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. And I'm just going to apologize to everybody off the start. Anybody of our friends, our traveling media that made it in for UFC 313, I apologize if we made it seem in any certain way that you would be coming to an absolutely stunning, beautiful Las Vegas. Instead, it's fight week, and the wind is blowing. It has gotten nasty. Winter has returned. It's 53 degrees outside right now, Cole Coffee. But the feels like with the just howling winds out there is 38 degrees.
I blame the traveling media that brought it in.
They brought it all with them.
That's what it was. Tell all those Canadians from up north that came into town, and people from Antarctica that just now started covering the sport and are in town.
The Antarctica Morning News, bro. Yeah, man. I thought we were good. I thought we were spring. I thought it was good to go. Now, listen, I always do say April and October are the two best months. March is always a little bit, you know, a little hit and miss, but I thought we were in there last week.
You're good. We got a little teaser.
Yeah, but we didn't, so I apologize for that. We got a lot to talk about with UFC 313, of course, and we will get to that. But, look, I wouldn't normally lead with CFSC news, right? I mean, yes, CFSC is my home, and obviously I'm always going to be a homer for CFSC, but I understand, you know, our position in the sport, what our role is. We're a developmental organization. We're trying to get people ready for the big shows. But come on, how about that breaking news? Yaroslav Amosov and Curtis Millender taking place next week, CFFC 140, next Friday night, 2300 in Reno, in Philadelphia. Of course, I will be on the microphone. Andre Petroski will be with me as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, CM Punk is out for a little bit. He's in the middle of a big run. He's going to miss this show, and he's definitely going to miss the next show as well because the next show is in Florida, and that is the same weekend of WrestleMania. So,
that's important.
I'm really hoping anybody out there, Triple H, whoever it is that's getting all this done, if you could put my boy Punk on Sunday night of WrestleMania, I would really appreciate that so I can fly back next month to get a chance to see that at Allegiant Stadium. But back to where I started. How about that? Yeah. Amosov versus Millender at CFFC 140.
That's huge. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, when we think of CFFC as like the feeder organization, now it is a revival organization.
Right.
You know, I mean, to think that both those names have legit like veteran experience in major organizations, and then to come back to CFFC, I had to do a little double take when I saw it. I was like, no, that does not say CFFC. I was like, what is going on? But, dude, it's a huge pickup, man.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as we've been saying, you know, and it's just kind of crazy because, you know, like you said, you know, it tends to be the feeder. It's the little brother to the UFC.
That's it.
You know, when we think about, like, viable options, you know, it was always like, man, that's why we want Bellator around. That's why we want the PFL around. But now you got guys that are being able to get some work that obviously they're happy to get because they signed the contract in CFFC. So do we have another organization off to the side
now?
I mean,
look, you know, we're not going to try to put ourselves as the national organization, the international organization. But this is an honor for us to be able to put this on.
Cool.
You know what I mean? To see Amosov coming back. Of course, you know, the former Bellator welterweight champion lost his title the last time out against Jason Jackson. That was a big upset. Nobody really saw that one coming. Amosov, of course, deserves a lot of respect, not only for his record. Remember, he's 27-1, which is incredible. But he has an amazing story where, you know, he's Ukrainian, and he had to step aside for a little bit to go defend his nation. I mean, that's pretty amazing to be a professional athlete and say, I'm going to put this aside, I'm going to take up arms, and I'm going to defend my homeland. So deserves a hell of a lot of respect. Wanted to get the rematch with Jason Jackson. I think those two guys both kind of fell victim to the reorganization, right? I mean, the PFL came over and took over Bellator, and we've seen a lot of fights just didn't happen. And they wanted both of – I think both of them were kind of up for that immediate rematch. It didn't happen, and ultimately Amosov's contract ran out. And, you know, he wants to get the UFC's attention, and what better place to do it than on UFC Fight Pass. So honored to have him. And then Curtis Millender, Curtis is – his track record is incredible, man. You know, it's funny because I was actually putting together the press release for this. And, you know, obviously you've known Curtis for a long time. I've followed his career. I've been there. But you kind of forget. I mean, the guy had a great run in the UFC. He started out – he beats Thiago Alves, Max Griffin, and Ciar Bahardizadeh. So, I mean, three very, very tough opponents that he beat. Takes a loss to Elizeu Zaleski dos Santos, who at that point I think was at a much higher point in his career than he is now. Elizeu Zaleski dos Santos is still very tough, but at that point I think he's a little bit higher in his career. And then he loses to Bilal Muhammad, and his contract ran out at that point. I remember he decided to leave the UFC, but I mean, you look at that now, and it's like, well, you go 3-2, and one of your losses is to the current welterweight champion. You know what I mean? So
it's not a bad mark.
Not a bad mark at all. He went on to fight for Bellator, went on to fight for PFL. He's been doing some boxing. He's been doing some bare knuckle boxing as well. He's always been willing to fight anybody. It was crazy putting the names together that he's fought for that press release as well. Alexander Shemenko, Ryan Ford, Magomed Karamov, Rory McDonald, Saba Hamasi, you know, plus the ones we already talked about in the UFC. He had Brennan Ward very early on in his career as well. So, yeah, man, just a very, very cool, exciting pickup for us at CFFC 140. So, you know, hopefully you're always checking out CFFC. But if you're not, maybe this will give you a reason.
remind you anyway.
Yeah, we'll remind you again next week. Check it out. But by the way, it's going to be a catchweight bout at 183 pounds. That was in the press release, but just in case you might miss that. So Curtis Millender has been fighting at 185. He's going to come down just slightly. I imagine for Amosov, I didn't ask, but I'm guessing that's probably close to walk-around weight for him. You know, you maybe have to cut a little bit. I imagine his future is back at welterweight as well. But so that'll be a special attraction matchup for us at CFFC. And, of course, then we have a lightweight title fight as well, some other very entertaining matchups that we can talk about next week when I head out there. But, yeah, like I said, don't get a lot of chances to maybe lead with CFFC news, but that's pretty damn big. I was proud to hear the rumblings behind the scenes as it was coming together and was happy to see that get announced to the public this morning.
Yeah, I mean, and it certainly sets the precedent that it can happen again.
You never know.
Hey, Bellator fighters.
Big things happening at CFSC. Big thing. We got all kinds of big announcements coming at CFSC in the very near future. All right, listen. So we got 313 to talk about, but I kind of would also feel bad if we didn't start with Zuffa getting into body. You know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was a huge one.
That's huge. It's huge. I guess it's, you know, TKO now. Zuffa boxing will always be in my brain. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's massive. I mean, this thing has been kind of kicked around and talked about. And we had heard the rumblings. We knew something was going on. But to have the trigger pulled and the bomb dropped and, hey, this thing is happening, big news in the sport of boxing. I've seen kind of mixed reviews so far, the way people are acting. Some people seem very excited by it. Some people seem very unexcited by it.
Man, I don't. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If Turkey and the Saudis were trying to just get in on their own, I think I could see where a lot of people could push back. And I think especially this day and age, when you got the current administration is making everything pro-American, I think the last thing they want to do is lose another major sports, even though boxing isn't its own organization. But if you would lose, yeah, I guess, you know, just like when people got really upset when LIV Golf became a thing, you know, everybody was like, you know, there goes golf. What's going to happen to the PGA, you know?
Right.
And then people started freaking out. I think by having the UFC involvement in TKO, they kind of like now set it up to where it's not just a Saudi organization. You know, they're making it a little bit more palatable that I could see where maybe, you know, the overall American public might not be like, oh, here they go again. We're selling another one of our major sports to another organization. but, you know, I mean, I think as much as Dana and those guys wanted to do their own thing, you just can't compete with that money over there.
Right.
You know, they seemingly have endless money, you know, and right now in America, we know that we don't have endless money, you know.
Correct.
So I think for Dana, you know, if they're going to, you know, have the chance to make the fights they want to do and they're actually going to, you know, try to keep boxing a real thing here, I know a lot of people are excited for it. I know boxing guys that I've talked to are excited about because they're excited for the prospect of bringing boxing back into the mainstream and back into be like a major influence in the, yes. in the U.S. And I think they feel like it's been lacking, maybe because of the promotions, maybe the big promoters themselves. People are a little bit tired of the Bob Arums. People are tired of the Golden Boys. People are tired of this other sort of stuff, you know, and they have their own personality and their own battles and their own issues or whatever. If this helps, you know, create an avenue for the promotion and make the sport, you know, a possible, you know, a big player again in the U.S. Because right now it's not. I mean, we got the NFL, we got right. the NBA. Even the MMA is not even the biggest thing here, you know. But when you think of boxing, it's like, where does it even fit in the thing? Outside of the diehards, nobody talks about boxing.
Correct.
You know, so I think they're trying to, you know, add it to the place. You got people that won't talk about President Trump without bringing up Dana in the UFC. So now you get to tag him in with part of this over here. And I think it's going to, you know, certainly help promote it. But, you know, again – you know, a lot of people really think that a lot of the Saudi money is sports washing. A lot of the stuff that the Saudis have done and their own like human rights issues and other sort of stuff. And not that we ever get really too political about it or whatever, but there is always going to be that aspect of it around the money that's over there.
It's a fair concern to bring you know? Up. Like you said, we don't really go down that path, but it is a very fair and valid concern.
Yeah. And so now people are going to, you know, it's almost like if they would have came on their own, those potential flags would have got raised a lot easier
right.
than now as you have a partnership with an American company, then people are like, okay, I'm sure it's going to be okay. They're going to be, you know, it's the American company that's running. It's TKO Boxing. It's not Turkey, even though they don't realize that Turkey actually changed it to Turkey's KO Boxing. They just, you know, hasn't been
small
said.
Request,
yet.
Small
request,
small
guys.
Small request.
In fact, you don't have to change anything. Keep it called TKO. But between you and me, Dana, hold my hand real quick. It is Turkey's KO Boxing. And Dana's like, can I get my hand back? No, Dana, we're talking about something very important. I'm holding your hand. I want you to understand the gravity
so
of this.
So funny. Cultural differences. I mean, that yeah. is so hilarious.
Dana, let me kiss you real quick. Let's seal the deal.
Well, listen, I think for TKO, for Dana, it's brilliant, right? Because they're not even having to lay out the money for it, right? They're getting paid
yeah.
to do it. So what a way to do it. You know, he's always talked about, hey, I want to get into this, but I'm not sure the right way to do it. This is would seem to be a no-risk situation to yeah. get in, right? Somebody else is funding it.
Turkey's already done the legwork right now, building up all that stuff over there. He's already got momentum going.
It's beautiful.
You know, good on him.
For TKO, they made – I mean, I think this is an amazing deal. But I honestly yeah. do think – if you're a boxing lover, a boxing purist, you're passionate about it, I do think this will be a good thing. Now, I've seen a lot of people in the MMA space that are like, oh, my God, you know, you don't understand the type of business practices that these guys employ, and it's going to ruin the sport. I disagree. I disagree, to be honest with you. I understand that there will be concerns about fighter pay and what that does. We know the UFC structure is to try to build more of a middle class. You know, maybe, of course, the high-end UFC fighters don't necessarily make what a Canelo does. But you're talking about these rare little one-off situations. Yeah. I mean, there are many multimillionaires that have been made in the UFC. And there are
yeah,
many
let's be real. This is not going to change the pay structure in the UFC.
No.
Sense of the word. But, like, it's two different entities.
Oh, 100%. But I see people that are concerned that in the MMA space they're going to screw up boxing. And I don't think they will. The high-end star is going to keep making their high-end money. Like, yeah. like Golden Boy's not going away overnight. Yeah. Like, you know, top rank.
Oh, they think that they're going to ruin the pay for the big guys?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It won't happen right now.
No.
Now, over time, you may see it more resemble the UFC where it's like, yeah. hey, there's more of a middle class here, you know. But, I mean, yeah. that's – boxing is weird, man. It's like you got these guys at the top that make insane money, and then you get those pay reports, and you're like, wait a minute, the first dude on the main card
got made three and three?
Like, what? You look on the undercard, and you're like, that guy made $500? Yeah. Like, what?
But nobody wants to talk about
nobody
that.
Nobody talks
that,
about
they'll
that.
They'll still yell that the UFC guy is getting 10 and 10.
Exactly. So I do think over time, the boxing pay structure will probably shift.
It'll change some.
But right now, the stars are going to be stars. Yep. And those people that aren't in this, you know, the matchroom boxings, the you know, like I said, they're still going to have to – they're going to be paying top dollar because they want to keep stars to keep their name and yeah. their promotion relevant. So
yeah, it's not like they're immediately just going to be able to buy out everybody's boxer
exactly.
and take them out. But I mean, because a lot of them are going to be locked into contracts, but will some of them move for the money?
100%.
It's going to happen. I mean, like, they're going to have access to money that they never had to, so they can start pulling at some guys. And if that's the problem, is that, oh, they're going to get guys paid more to leave their current contracts and but you're mad that they're changing boxing?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good problem.
Here's the thing I think people, and I know it's always easier to bash the UFC than it is to praise them and whatever. Yep. And I'm not saying that everything they do is perfect, but here's something that I do think that boxing fans can look forward to is that, you know, you always heard Dana over the years say that, like, every boxing event, it's like a fire sale, right? It's like a going out of business sale. We're just trying to extract as much money as possible because we don't have to worry about what's next. That is one thing, is that if you really take a step back and put your, if you have some anti-Zuffa, anti-USC bias in your corner, put it aside for just a second and look at the things they do to build the sport. PIs, one thing, you know what I mean? But even just things like supporting regional shows with things like Fight Pass, like, you know, the money that they pay out to the organizations that are, you know, broadcast on UFC Fight Pass is hugely beneficial to the operation of those organizations and to help continue to give fighters at the grassroots level a place to go and a place to build and a place to, you know, to continue to develop fighters for the future of the sport. And then there's all the things they do with the additional program and the shoulder program and the promotional program, like all these things that these boxing promotions, because yes, they're maximizing what their fighter makes, but they're maximizing what they make. They're not building any infrastructure to help continue the sport to develop and to move forward, and that's what I think this organization will be really, really good at. So I'll be honest. I think it's a good thing. And again, I know there's a lot of people that aren't fans of the UFC's business practices and all that, but for the sport of boxing, especially if you're a fan, I feel like this is a good move, man. I feel like it's going to help the sport.
Now, Will, now – clear from this, because I've only skimmed through articles. Will they have their own belt system, or are they just acting as a promoter like a Golden Boy, and they'll still have the WBC, WBA, W,
so this,
every other thing?
This is why this thing all works out perfect. You know, recently Turkey had bought the Ring magazine, which has the Ring belt. So they haven't necessarily formally announced what their intentions are, but I believe the idea would be magazine and belt. I don't know if they still call it the Ring magazine belt, but the Ring belt will be the belt moving forward. That would be my assumption. And that means that
so they won't compete against guys that are in competing for like WBC belts and all that other stuff?
I think they will. I just don't think they'll necessarily put the WBC, WBA, WBO. I don't think they'll put those belts on the line, because all you have to do those belts are significant, right?
Yeah.
But you know you have to pay that fee. Like, why did...
Well, I was going to say, but I guess that just makes sense if they just pay the fee to be part of those organizations.
No, I don't think they'll pay a fee. I don't think they'll associate with them all. I think, hey, you guys want to keep having that WBA belt over there? Guys,
yeah,
knock yourself out. We're just not having any of our fighters compete for it.
Well, then I can see where people would be upset, because then you are taking a lot of pull out, and then you're not actually... Then it's another one of, why can't you have the greatest fighters fight the greatest fighters?
Well, you still can have the greatest fighters fight the greatest fighters.
If they leave the contract, they're fighting the ring belt.
Well, no, it's not. See, that's it. They don't have to leave the contract. See, they don't have – this is why I think people don't understand sometimes. They don't have contracts with those organizations. There is no WBA contract, no WBC contract. You're just paying those organizations sanctioning fees, which is part of the thing that everybody goes, this is stupid. Like, I'm paying a 20% purse fee to this organization just to say that they sanction this title? Like,
yeah.
What? Like, what did you do? You didn't build this. And I think that's where a lot of people really hate the system that is set up in boxing, because you're paying these organizations to be able to compete for their titles, and those organizations aren't doing anything in terms
of... And TKO won't have any fees on their ring belt?
Well, but it's all in-house. Turkey's the one that owns – well, Turkey's KO, but Turkey's the one that owns the belt. So I think that's the whole thing.
It's going to stick.
It's right? It's already done.
It's done.
Turkey KO.
Let me hold your hand. So great.
But, yeah, it's like the UFC title. There's no licensing fee for the UFC title, right? It's just the UFC title of the organization. So so I think that'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a good thing. That's what's going to take some time to shift away from. Like, I imagine in the beginning it'll really be about building kind of middle class, grassroots, a couple stars. You know, your Callum Walsh's and your, you know, whatever will have, you know. I don't think you're immediately going to snatch away everything, but it does seem to me like, you know, then Turkey's going to keep doing the Riyadh season event. So I think there's going to be fights here in North America, and then there'll continue to be fights in Saudi Arabia as well. So, I mean, look, there's still a lot of answers to be had. And again, I understand potential criticisms, but I just think, for me personally, at least from the outside looking in, I think this is a good thing for boxing, at least for fans. Maybe not for other promoters. Maybe not for sanctioning bodies. So there's a lot of people who are doing business in boxing that I would probably say, you probably don't think this is a very good thing. But to me, if you're a fan of boxing,
yeah,
I think you got to say this is a good thing.
Well, this is where you start running into your, the good old boys and who's friends with who when you start dealing with commissions and in big cities. You know, like Dana and the UFC has their things. Boxing commissions have long, I'm sure, have their own little, you know, backroom meetings with these commissions when these fights go into place. And so now if it comes into town and you're going to have people competing for venues, you're going to have people competing whether you're going to allow them to compete. And granted, any commission is going to be like, hey, you want to bring an event to our town, we're more than likely to happen to take your money. But you got to think that there's going to be some conversations with these bodies that have been paying these commissions forever. Hey, do me, you know, I don't think they'd go as so far as to say, like, you know, don't commission, because I think that'd be silly because nobody's right. going to turn it down. But, you know, if it comes
make
to
it a little tougher,
you know,
what are the,
make
what,
it a little tougher,
couple
say,
of hoops
hey,
to jump through.
You know, if they know, like, say, like, you know, here, the Mexican Independence Day, that was always now a hot event that happens in T-Mobile. Now you got another big major boxing promotion that might want to try to throw their hat in the ring. Now you're going to have these other promoters. Whereas before we had like UFC trying to compete with boxing. Now you got multiple boxing, because usually most of the boxing organizations don't have the money to really compete yep. with the big players
yep.
in these big cities for these big dates. But
no,
now there's going to be another.
Well, you're 100% right about that, right? Because, like, for instance, you know, you look at, for, you know, Las Vegas is the home of the UFC, right?
Yeah.
Why has Bellator never come here? You know, why has, you know, obviously now it doesn't exist, but you know yep. what I mean? Like, why have major competitors never been able to come here? Because they couldn't get access to the venues because there were exclusive yeah. contracts with either, you know, the organizations themselves or, like, with commissions. It's very easy. There's all kinds of things you can do with commissions to be like, oh, well, you know, we can't sanction your event because we actually have an event the next night, and that would stretch yep. our staff out too much. So, like, you can't. So there are little shady yeah. little plays that yeah. happen like that when
yeah.
between the commission and the organizations and things. I wouldn't say the commissions are shady, but, I mean, there are little – gamesmanships, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like,
I mean, these are gentlemen's agreements, you know, that probably they would never ever say up front, you know, that it's just a matter of doing work business together,
yep.
you know, like if I can make it easy for you to do business by doing that something that's not technically illegal, maybe is it a little bit ethically shady at
right.
times, but I'm not breaking any laws, I'm not doing anything, I'm speaking truth, like it would put a strain on our organization
yeah.
to have a quick turnaround. We'd rather not do that,
and let me give an example. Like, for instance, if let's say I believe it's called crypto.com arena right now, let's say like in California
yeah.
like an organization, whether it be boxing, mixed martial arts or whatever, was doing like crypto.com arena on Saturday night, a competing organization wants to come in and they want to do Friday night, and they actually want to do that at the Intuit Dome. You know, so that's a whole nother venue, different side of town, but it's the same commission and it's a different night. It's a very realistic thing for the commission to be like, we just don't have the staff to do both events.
Yep.
Sorry, these guys had their request in first at
yep.
Crypto on Saturday, so we appreciate the fact that you're trying to come to our venue and do, but we don't have the staff to be able to sanction this, so we can't approve that date. That's
yeah.
that's realistic. That, you know what
that,
I mean?
I mean, that goes a long way with organizations knowing where you're going to go, so you can get those requests in,
100%.
You know, as soon as possible.
100%.
You know, so it's on their dockets. And
so,
stuff, so
it's funny. Did you see? I didn't see the entire interview, but I did see the social clip, which I thought was hilarious on the Pat McAfee with Turkey.
It.
So this is great. So I guess it's Turkey joining from wherever he is. Dana's on a different call, and then it's the Pat McAfee show. And so they're talking, and Turkey goes, hey, Pat, why don't you ask Dana when our first event is, you know? And he's like, well, hey, when's the first event? And Dana's like, well, we'll make that announcement. Turkey's like, September. Dana's like, well, I mean, these are the kind of things that we don't necessarily want to jump out in front of. He's like, we kind of want to hold back on these and announce it when we're ready. You know what I mean? And then so he kind of but they're laughing. They're like, all right, so it looks like their first event is going to be in September. Everybody's kind of laughing. And credit to Pat McAfee. He's like, oh, he's like, this is great news. He's like, so September 5th, the world changes when the whole thing happens. Maybe it's September 6th.
Yeah.
The world changes when everything happens. Maybe it's September 7th. This is all going to change. And Turkey goes, maybe September 12th.
Oh, God.
And you can see Dana just going.
That's hilarious.
Dana's like, Turkey, hold my hand.
We must not do this.
We must not do this. So it looks like September 12th is going to be the debut. But here's the interesting part.
That's hilarious.
September 12th is a Friday.
Interesting.
Which I think, brilliant, right? I mean, if this should
go
be their strategy.
Yeah.
Don't counter program, right?
Yeah.
Boxing on Friday, MMA on Saturday.
Yeah.
You're not competing against each other.
They still can't do it at the same venue.
Well, you just wouldn't be able to do weigh-ins. You could change everything else in and out.
I mean, that's a heavy, quick.
But hey, we've seen him turn T-Mobile, for instance. We've seen him turn it from hockey into MMA. You know what I mean? So you can do it. And then you bring in WWE on Sunday night for Sunday night. Is it Sunday Night Raw? That's Monday. You know what I mean? Like
Monday night.
Man,
interesting.
So anyway, it is big news, and I know we're. I'll never sit here and say that we're boxing experts. I think we always jump out and say that. Hey. Our life is so consumed by MMA that I will never
boxing
pretend.
Media sucks.
Yeah, it's that'll be interesting.
They're
to see
so it. Chaotic.
That'll be interesting to see if they try to change.
So supposedly, when we brought up the thing with the staffs, because I joke with some of the guys.
So media day yesterday, you were talking about it.
I was like, because I saw some of the ops people, and they're like, he was like, they want us to never go home. I was like, you might as well buy a house over there or something. But then I saw a camera guy. Photog said that they were getting new staff for a lot of the stuff. So will there be some initial coverage of it? Yeah, I mean, look at Power Slap, for example. Look at any other little thing.
Yeah, you'll have
do.
The people that have been running it for the UFC
go
help. But that's what I'm wondering.
But
will they try to set up systems?
I think they'll eventually get new full staff to handle those things just because – They wanted to go full time. Yeah. Literally, they're already running them so ragged doing Power Slap as well as this, which is already ridiculous. But to think that.
And Fight Pass Invitational.
And Fight Pass Invitationals, you know. So, they're supposedly. But will they ask some of them to probably help out initially? Yeah, 100%.
But will they try to implement the same kind of systems? Because that is one thing us. As longtime, you know, UFC journalists and a former employee in your own respect, the systems that are in place to cover the events for the media and the operations versus the systems when you go do these boxing events, I mean, it's chaos at boxing.
Boxing is just like a free-for-all that nobody listens to. But I think if you're run by the same level of PR that actually slaps the hands of the media that's running amok trying to do whatever – then they'll learn the system, and then hopefully it would go that way. But if it's it's boxing, we just don't really whatever. Because if the people that come over are used to boxing, like say they work for X promotion and they come over because they have boxing experience, it's probably going to look a hell of a lot more like a regular boxing one as opposed to somebody that's went through and done like either, you know, WWE or UFC or something along those lines. I hope it's more on the UFC side, but who knows? not my funnest sport to cover.
No.
And it's not the sport. It's not the fighters. Sport's great. It's the media. It's the circus. It's just such a
– it's just the culture of it. It's not an attack on anybody.
Yeah.
It's just the culture. It's like, you know, there's no like
– dog-eat-dog, no rules.
Yeah,
I'm going to jump
our
in
assigned,
front of your shot.
Here's our assigned seat. Hey, we respect all the cameras are going to be here, so please nobody set up a camera in front where you're going to block the shot of everyone else. That's what we do in mixed martial arts. Yeah. So everybody's kind of like, hey, you good? You good? All right, we're good. Everybody's good. I mean, you see it. When we do face-offs, what does Dana do? He looks at everybody good? Everybody good? And then we'll do the face-offs. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen in boxing.
No.
And it's not – again, it's not an insult. It's just they've never done it that way.
No, it's because they're dudes with their little phones and their whatever, and they live in their fucking basement of their mom's house, and they just run
forward.
Not
an insult at all. As I said, we're not attacking anyone.
Just these ones that I'm talking about. The other ones are good. The ones that don't live in their mom's basement and don't run up with their phone to block the whole stage because they're like, this is what we do.
It is wild. And and then the I've only covered a handful of events in boxing, but I remember like the media all lining up afterwards to like get their credentials autographed and stuff by the boxes. I was just like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Get ready. Get ready.
You will not see me in that line.
All right. We'll get ready for UFC 313 as well. Of course, we'll be heading over to the press conference at Mandalay Bay, which we haven't been at Mandalay Bay in forever. We'll be doing that here shortly. But, of course, you were at Media Day all day yesterday. I will give a quick plug. I did stop by the Apex briefly, and I did speak with King Green for Grind City Media. If you want to go check that out over at the Grind City Media YouTube channel or any of their podcast subscription places, King Green was awesome, man. He keeps it real. He, I guess, adult language warning, not safe for work, maybe, perhaps. But he was great, and man, it's been an honor to cover his career for more than a decade. And every time we get a chance to talk, he's always very respectful and keeps it very real. So we had some great conversations. But I know you were there for the full media day yesterday. I did watch many of MMA Fighting's YouTube videos, including Alex Vejeda and Magomed Ankalaev, the headliners. it looks like the odds are still holding right now for the time being, kind of a pick 'em. I think they've kind of swapped back and forth between, you know, kind of who's the favorite at certain places, but pretty much a pick 'em. And
yeah,
I believe that. I feel the same way, man. I am torn on this fight, and I'm excited for it. I feel like I'll be interested to see what T-Mobile's. I mean, Alex Bejeda has quickly become one of the biggest stars in the sport. Like,
yeah,
the buzz that he creates is insane, and we talk about it multiple times on here because the guy fights all the time. How wild it is to see, because you know he doesn't talk trash, he doesn't even speak English, but people are just absolutely drawn to him. Ankalaev, I think you and I over the years have always talked about the fact too that Ankalaev, if you could just speak Russian or he can speak English, you can tell he has personality. Yeah. He's always got like this kind of weird smile, and he's kind of laughing when he talks about stuff. So I don't feel like this is a hugely like mad buzz around town about this fight, but I'm intrigued by it, man, and I'm really, really, I'm really torn, man. I agree with these odds, and I feel like this is kind of a pick'em type fight, man. And maybe I'm crazy and think that maybe everybody's just, you know, looking to for somebody who can actually challenge Poatan. But I feel like Ankalaev is that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's the requisite is somebody that could challenge him, I mean, it'd be silly to think that he can't challenge him. I mean, you know, most people, I think, see this as a striker versus the grappler. But, I mean, Ankalaev has good hands as well. Does he maybe have the explosive finishes that we've seen from Paella? No. And I think there's been fights we've seen where Ankalaev has looked, his hands just didn't look great, like he was sort of battling with it. And I don't know if that was just a comfort level or maybe he was just slow to start. But, you know, if he gets his hands on him and he's able to hold on to him, that's the real problem, I think, that poses for Alex. And that's going to be the issue. I mean, one, he's got to get in close to do that. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to be silly enough to just kind of barge forward. But maybe maybe he's confident he could take a shot or two and get in there and get a hold of him. Because once he gets a good hold of him, I mean, not that we've ever seen Alex really, you know, show like, I am the best guy to defend takedowns, or you will not get me down to the ground. Like, that's always going to be his Achilles heel out of his, you know, when it comes to striking, he's got beautiful striking. I mean, he was a world-renowned kickboxer, for Pete's sake, you know, and then he comes over to MMA. His power, his skill transferred just fine, you know. But again, you know, Ankalaev, these guys, they're born grapplers, born wrestlers. I mean, that shit, they just breathe that stuff, man. So, I don't know, it's tough. I did, I sided with the champ, even though I think it's hard not to. I think that's it. It's just hard not to. I mean, I think in years past, I would have easily, we would have junked on Ankalaev, but then there's been some times I've seen him in, you know, training where I was just like, man, he doesn't look really all that great in training. Granted, it's training, but I know a lot of his training camp and stuff he's been focusing now is a lot of jiu-jitsu and a lot of ground game stuff. Maybe he's just kind of, you know, resolved himself to the fact that, you know, he's not going to look like a better striker than Alex, so let's work on the things that I am going to look better at, you know, and that would be the ground stuff. So if he gets to the ground, Alex going to have some problems that he has to deal with, and we'll really see how much he's actually grown his ground game. If he can't get up off the ground, then it's going to be a long night, and it's not going to be a good end, and we'll see a change of hands. But if he can keep it standing and Magomed thinks he wants to make it a striking match and he wants to go out there and prove to people that he can knock out Alex, it might be a long night and it might be a bad night for him. But I gave the champ the bonus on this one. I just couldn't go against
that's
him.
That's exactly what I feel about it. Is that I can make the case for how Ankalaev wins this fight. You know, he's good on the feet. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think you want to build a game plan that's like, let's just strike with Alex. Like, that's silly. But he's good on the feet. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't have the big double leg takedown, but if he gets in the clinch, like, he's got good takedowns and he's heavy on top. You know what I mean? So, like, I can make a case. To me, it is a 50-50 fight, but I feel the same way. It's just Alex has that little something right now that you got to give, right? That you got to give. So I'm intrigued by this. You know, they both had a little bit of trash talk back and forth, whatever. You know, it's been interesting.
It's silly
trash talk.
Yeah,
but it's been interesting to me to hear how Ramadan has come to this. Like, it doesn't. Yeah. It's interesting because it wasn't all that long ago that I feel like people didn't even know what Ramadan was, and now I guess, you know, because there's been so many of these Muslim fighters that have had success, like, it's a real discussion point.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting to me how, like, now it's come into the thing of, like, you're not even fasting or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say, and again, not that I know a whole lot about the Muslim faith, but just in doing interviews over the years, I do know that I've heard fighters say, like, Muslim faith does allow for you, if you have professional reasons of why you can't fast, like, you can essentially carve out days and then make it back at the end of the month or whatever. So I just thought that
was
weird.
Even on this, I mean, if you go off what I heard him say, the only concession that he's making is the water consumption.
Right.
He needs to drink water during the day to help aid the
he needs the water load. Yeah, that's the water load.
And so he's going to do that to help lose the weight. Typically, he's not able to drink water until after sunset.
Right.
You know, so is that like when Alex was saying he's seen food bags, he's claiming, he's given the impression that Magomed's eating food and he's doing things, like he's seen these things. So when Magomed said, yes, I had to change and I had to change my fast around, but it's to drink water, you know, Alex is still like, see, I told you. And it's like, bro, he's not eating food. Right. He's drinking water, for Pete's sake. But it does go into why you maybe pick a gentleman that you know that you're going to be put up against. And then you add the fact that this is his holy month and he's going to be putting extraneous, you know, restrictions on what he can do. That's a heck of a time to pick that guy to fight against you. There's definitely some gamesmanship, you know, and why this fight took place now as opposed to other times, you know. And that was partly, too, you know, with me thinking like, man, Alex really thought this one out a little bit. And that's kind of also, too, why I was like, well, I'm going to add that onto the champ because.
Hey, you know what? And if that was his line of thinking, good on you.
100%.
You know what I mean?
There's nothing wrong about that at all. I mean, if you know somebody's going to make it harder for themselves to do a weight cut, to, you know, just have the energy during the day. I mean, this is what they're giving up for the religion. And if you're just like, hey, all power to you. But, you know, we're in a sporting event and I might use that against you because I know you're a little bit depleted. Why not?
Yeah, why
There's
not?
Nothing against that.
Why not?
If it wasn't allowed, if it wasn't whatever, they would just make it so that fighters couldn't fight fighters when they're going through Ramadan.
Yeah.
But the Ramadan fighters know what they want to do. I mean, this is if anything else, is proving their faith and proving their resilience and proving how I can even do this while I'm holding back, while I'm giving things to my belief, I can still whip your ass.
Yep.
You know, so I ain't even eating during the day, dog. I ain't drinking. And I'll still whip your ass, you know.
I was just thinking in my head, wouldn't that have been great if he's like, so what's your point, Alex? I'm a bad Muslim? Fine. But I'm a great fighter, and I'm going to fuck you up. You know?
That'd be good. So,
hey,
again, yeah.
That's for me and my God to figure out. You waking up on Saturday night is for you and your God to figure out.
I like that.
See, now we got some chills. Now.
I mean, and that's it, you know, and at the end of the day, I mean, it was water for Pete's sake, and anybody that understands what some of these people have to do to cut the weight, you know, and if it's already been something that's been accepted, and the people in his faith aren't judging him, why are you judging him? You know, like, if anything else, I think, you know, you just, if you're looking for reasons to make yourself feel better, then that's a little bit iffier.
I think it's just, I think they're both just like, look, we got to figure out some way to sell this fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but hardcore is, at least I think it's going to be a great fight.
Oh, it's going to be a good fight.
I said this. I don't think it's going to be a high volume fight. Like, I don't think it's going to be a high pace, high volume fight, but there's going to be a lot of tension in it because they both have so much power.
I was going to say, that's it. They're going to have so much respect. I just hope that the first, you know, first 3 minutes isn't them just sort of like staring at each other, getting some moves.
A little faints.
Walk around, a little something, something. I almost threw something right there at you. Let's walk around the door. No, it could be.
There could be some booze in the opening round.
Could be.
There could be some booze in the opening round.
But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, who cares? Because, I mean, they're dangerous. They're powerful.
Oh, I think somebody's,
you know,
sleeping either way.
Somebody could go to sleep. So, I mean, might as well at least get a few minutes of ring time before you're knocked out.
Justin Gaethje, Rafael Fiziev in the co-main event. Obviously, the replacement fight, Fiziev stepping in for Dan Hooker. Hell of a replacement, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Like I said, not one I would have initially said, I really want to see this fight, but you know it's going to be fun. And that's only because we have seen the fight. We saw it pretty recently. We know that Justin Gaethje doesn't have a whole lot of fights left in him, so some fresh matchups would have been fun. But that said, it's still a fun fight, and again, looking at the odds, I mean, seeing Fiziev hold as the favorite. Shout out to our partners at CloudBet. You know, we just give them some additional love as we're talking about it. But Fiziev holding as the favorite over Justin Gaethje, I was a little bit surprised to see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But But I guess I do – I mean, I do understand it as well. Gaethje's coming off a tough knockout. It was a competitive fight the first time around until late in the fight. You know, Fazeev is the younger man, but Fazeev is also the one stepping in on short notice and flying halfway around the world. So I guess that's why I was a little bit surprised. Plus, I just feel like people love Justin Gaethje. Like, who doesn't want to throw some money on Justin Gaethje? So I'm a little bit surprised. Maybe it'll shift closer to the fight as people start to put a little money down. Because, on fight day, sometimes it's just, you want to throw a couple bucks on your favorite fighter, regardless of what the damn odds are. You just want to show your support.
Yep.
And I would think that type of casual money would lean far heavier in Justin Gaethje's direction than Fazeev.
And we still need to see how he looks on weigh-in. Mm-hmm. I went, contrary to what the odds I see, I went with Justin.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was
preparing for a fight. He was ready to get in a fight, he got the decision last time, but I mean, I don't weigh too much in the fact that, that last time that we saw Justin, losing, this is a guy that's so reserved. He fights a certain way that tends to end in that particular manner. He's either taking somebody out or he's getting taken out, he does the right things in training. I'm not worried about him going in there, not 100%, not ready. If anything else, I'm looking to see how Fiziev is going to look this week. He wasn't really prepared for this fight. How's his weight cut going to look? Is he going to be depleted? Is he going to make weight? He looked very nice and healthy and plump and everything at media day. He didn't look like a guy that was ready to hop on the scale right then by any means, so if anything, he looked like he was probably about 20 pounds heavy at that point. So be interesting to see, how he looks going in, and that travel is hard, man.
It's not, man. That's a long
trip. It's not
trip.
Easy, and your body doesn't just snap out of that and say, okay, yeah, let's cut weight now. It doesn't work that well. And especially as you start getting older and older, it just gets harder and harder. So, I'm leaning Justin, I give Rafael all the credit in the world. I mean, we've seen that when people get the right perfect shot on Justin, they will take him out. But the dude's got a hell of a chin, man. He takes damage. I mean, he could take shots, and I think he could take Fiziev's power. If they get in the middle and start doing rock'em sock'em, man, we've seen it not go his way, but we've seen it go his way. And I feel like if it gets in that sort of manner in this one, he's just on a different level than Fiziev. But
we shall see. I side with you on that one, though. Like I said, I the more I thought about it, okay, I do get the line for Fiziev, but I like Gaethje here as well.
Yeah.
Jalen Turner, Ignacio Bahamanes should be fireworks as well. That's a great one. Again, I had the conversation with King Green. Big, big underdog against Mauricio Rufy. I understand Rufy is the he's the man right now as far as up-and-coming talent. I get it. Their styles together should be very fun. Of course, I don't want to skip over the ranked matchup there of Amanda Lemos and Yasmin Lucindo as well. What's the picks update right now? How are we standing right now?
Farrah's up top. I'm like four behind her or something like that.
Okay, so striking distance.
I'm still in the middle of the pack, which is just
early.
Fine.
I need
to double check some of my
wins. We're just getting out of
the
starting gate now. It's March,
It'd be awesome if she runs it up, man. If she could become the first female staffer, the first co-champ. And then the second double champ, if she could win, I'd be so stoked for her. She's on top, man. She's doing really, really well. So, but yeah, now it's a matter of, I feel like we're playing catch up to her right now. I need to double check my picks because I need to think what I did. I can't remember if I picked Rufy or I picked King Green on that one, because I'm starting to think that maybe if I did Green, because I have a hard time not picking him.
I love King.
I'm just so emotionally attached to that dude. I just love the cat, and I know he's not going to be around forever. I feel like I leaned his way, and I'm wondering if I shouldn't swap that over to
I wouldn't blame you. I understand the odds there. I'm going to be cheering for King. There's no doubt about it, but this is a tough one, especially as hard as Mauricio hits.
Yeah.
So King, like I said, check out that interview over at Grind City Media. He was awesome. After we got done, he was like – I was the absolute last interview of the day yesterday, and after he got done, he's like – I'm so glad that was my last interview. He's like, that was the best interview. You're the best. Like, love, like, much respect. But it was funny. We were just talking about kind of – him as a person and his style and how he's evolved over the years and that sort of thing. And I did ask him, I'm like, look, 12 years in the game, I mean, 50 fights, are you thinking about the end at all? And he's like, a little bit. He's like, as long as I'm still entertaining, I want to keep going. He's like, but I am thinking about, like, as you get older, how do you make sure that you're sustaining yourself? You don't have to ask people for money and stuff like that. And you don't have to ask for things. And he was like, so that's why I'm starting a farm. He's like, I have 27 chickens right now. And he's like, I was like,
I made a joke about that. I was like, how do you say you're rich without saying you're rich? You say you got 27 chickens.
I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, Bryce Mitchell's getting me all set up on how to run a farm. I'm like, that is the brotherhood that I did not expect to hear from today with King
Green. Be careful when he starts telling you how to use power tools, you know. But when it comes to starting some chickens and shit. But no, because when he said that, I was like, how did that happen? But now that makes a lot of sense when he's saying Bryce did that for him.
Yeah,
but
he's trying to be sustainable, man. He's trying to be kind of off the grid a little bit.
Well, you know, when he said, you know, when he in media day, he was talking about, you know, he's like, you know, I was talking to these fellows in my neighborhood, you know, and a king has to have a castle, you know. So he's like, I'm not just talking about renting. I'm talking about owning it. I mean, you can still have your mortgage payments and stuff like that, but I mean owning your property. You got to have your place. And he's like, and then he started going about how he had to own his house, and then he talked about his chickens, and I was just like, oh damn, you just throwing the money around. I was like, look at you with your chickens. But I was like, I love hearing when he gets on these tangents, man. It's just so funny.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's something.
Any other standouts media? I mean, did you guys just do the main card? Did Curtis Blades and Riz Van Cunha come back there?
No,
okay, so just
them.
The main card. Well,
yep.
I say just the main card. You guys had,
and then we had
the main card and
the fight pass, the invitational.
Main
of that.
Any other standout moments or things that just caught your attention? It's like that struck me as good or funny or memorable or out of the ordinary.
You know, there was a couple that I remember thinking that I liked Yasmin Lucindo's energy. I thought that she was good going in there, and then on the opposite of her, Lemos was good coming in there. Jalen Turner was fun. Bahamundes was good. But, yeah, I mean, King definitely, I think, I mean, just because he just stood out because of the personality. It felt like a long day. But he had a way of always kind of separating himself. And then it's always good that we ended on Alex, because Alex was really strong at the very, very end. It was weird. So we had Magomed to start it and then Alex to bring up the rear, which normally a lot of times you don't have a headliner to start the whole thing off.
No.
You know, you usually make them wait. But I thought it was overall a good day. I mean, everybody was pretty consistent and, you know, decent energy. And, yeah, I'm looking – I think it'll be fun fight week. And I like these – pay-per-view ones, man, where other media shows up, because I could just sit back and record.
Yeah.
I could just be a video producer and shoot.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. Like, moving forward, like, I do want to be at some more media days when I can. I think the pay-per-view, there's just no reason to be there because there's enough other people coming to town. You know what I mean?
I love it. I could just turn my brain off and be like, yep, let's go. I love it.
Dig it, man.
I love it.
You and I will be heading over to the press conference shortly. From what we understand, there should be a press conference tomorrow as well, right?
Yeah, UFC, right before 314.
Yeah, UFC 314 press conference. I don't know that that's necessarily official, but we understand that that's
the word. It's on the PR schedule.
Is it? Okay, so
yeah,
look
it's
out.
On the PR schedule.
Look out for that before the ceremonies, right?
Yep.
Prior to ceremonies?
Yep, right before.
So check out for that if you're looking forward to UFC 314.
I actually have the list of the people that are going to be there.
I think it's supposed to be like the whole main card is what I heard.
Yeah, I think so. Where did I put that? Let me just take it up.
While you're looking that up, I do want to give a shout out to Justin James. Obviously, Justin James, friend of the show, former coach of Cold Coffee, and of course, I've called a couple of collegiate wrestling matches with him as part of CFFC Match Day. But he is making his bare knuckle boxing debut this weekend as part of Fusion Fight League. He's facing a Bellator vet, Lloyd Mix, up there in Montana. I believe that is on Spectation Sports, if you've got that. So shout out to Justin James. Justin, I respect Justin, man. He's been saying going into this, like the offer came up and he's like, I got to do that. You know, I've been fighting my whole life. I got to do it. But he has been open and saying, like, I'm kind of nervous about it. Like, I don't know if my skills translate and, you know, if it feels the same as whatever. So
it's chin and knuckle, man. It's chin and knuckle and hopefully some head movement.
Yep.
But, yeah, I want to say it's pretty much the main card. Volkanovski, Diego Lopez, Michael Chandler, Patty Pimblett, Yair Rodriguez, Patricio Fajeda, Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
I always fuck his name up.
It's tough.
Bryce Mitchell, Jean Silva, Jeff Neal, and Carlos Prochus.
Looking forward to that.
That's a good one.
Keep an eye for that. That'll be something to watch tomorrow afternoon. You got the UFC Fight Pass Invitational tonight. So that's something maybe it might have already been on by the time you listen to this, but something worth watching. I don't talk about Power Slap a lot for obvious reasons. To me, there's not a whole ton to talk about with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's interesting, though. This whole so they announced that they're going on YouTube, and I saw a lot of people immediately wanting to poop all over it, and I understand exactly why. I know people are not excited about that organization, and that's fine. But it's one that I've seen Combate recently announced that they're going on full YouTube as well. I think there's a couple of other organizations that are eyeing YouTube only for their organizations to broadcast on. And I think it's interesting. I think it's easy to say that, well, that just means you couldn't get a broadcast platform. But I saw the article where Dana White was talking about the fact that, like, you know, we want to be able to basically eat what we kill. We believe we can go out there. And I saw a lot of people just kind of scoffing and laughing and saying, well, you just don't want to admit failure. And maybe that's true. But there's something interesting about that, right? I mean, how do organizations get paid when they get these television contracts? Well, those television channels, they go out and they sell advertising. And they use that advertising to line their own pockets and then also to pay the revenue that they laid out for that content. If you cut out essentially the middleman of the network, you know, you can keep all those profits to yourself. And the views may not be what they would have been. Maybe they're higher on YouTube because it's available globally. Maybe they're not because, you know, you don't get the type of reach that you do into homes that a normal channel does. But if an advertiser wants to be associated with you, and if you feel like you can sell your product better than these networks can, you might actually find a way to profit better on this. I think back to the days when I was an MMA junkie, and not to reveal too much behind the scenes, but at MMA junkie, and you know, we sold to USA Today, and there were times where, you know, we would have meetings talking about advertising revenue and stuff, and honestly, people would just be like, well, listen, man, it's just that these are our ad salespeople. They don't necessarily know how to sell this. You know, it's still a little bit controversial. It's still a little bit out there, and they don't really know how to package it, and they're having trouble. And so we would have like down revenue months or whatever. And now I'm thinking, you know, while I'm not trying to say, hey, man, this, you know, PowerSlap is the biggest sport on earth, et cetera, et cetera. We've heard all the metrics and those things. I would just say be hesitant in immediately burying that as a failure, because if you could still go out and secure the advertising revenue and now you no longer have to share that with a network that paid you or you're only getting a percentage of that, you can actually end up turning a higher profit in the long term. So just sometimes to think. I know everybody wants to rush to judge sometimes, but sometimes make sure you take a step back and think about why would somebody make this move? Why would this be a potential positive move?
Yeah, I mean, what could they really been possibly getting from Rumble when they had it on there? Like,
and I think there was.
I think they're just doing it for their platform and just the streaming engagement and like the and as many views as it was getting. And I think it was giving them crazy numbers, but they can't possibly have been throwing them a bunch of money.
Well, I think there was a figure that it was like a $30 million deal. But always remember with those deals, it's like, well, that includes this amount of impressions on our network. You know what I mean? It's like not actually cash changing hands. Sometimes you have to remember that when you hear a $30 million deal, it doesn't mean we wrote you a check for $30 million.
You'd have to pay for those impressions, and so they're giving you a dollar value.
Exactly.
For those
they're like, we're giving you – you know what I mean? So it's a way to be structured. But just something to think about. Again, when you're thinking about the business side of things, think about things. So just want to shout that out there because I think – because honestly, I saw Combate going to YouTube first. And then this deal was announced, and I'm like, I wonder if
is that for that all women's or they have
no, they're doing that. Their whole platform from
is
now
it already?
On is just going all, that, starting with their next one. They're all
which
women's.
Is that the all women's one? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
But now they're gonna do all their stuff live on YouTube, English and Spanish, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it works for them. But I think that's the biggest thing is that I thought Dana nailed it when he said, you know, we'll eat what we kill, meaning you go out and if you're going on YouTube. You are not trying to live off the impressions or the ad sales that you get from YouTube. That's not what you're doing. You're not trying to live off that ad revenue. What you're trying to do is you're trying to go sell advertising on your own and not having to split it with a broadcast partner, but instead keeping it all for yourself. So just something to think about. Last thing I want to give a shout out as well. I want to give a shout out to longtime listener Galley up in Canada, as well as his wife. Galley goes back to the Junkie Radio days. This dude has been around forever. And any time I've been in Toronto and Canada, he has always been a super, super nice, accommodating host. He's always looked out for us, and he's a good, good dude. But I want to give a shout to him and his wife because, first of all, he created a very nice memento for my family for our dog that passed away, Buddy. our very loved buddy. Still some rough moments over at our house, but he created a very nice memento, which was super, super cool of him. And then he also sent this bottle of Canadian whiskey for me and you, and he said, I want you and Cole Coffee to make sure you get good use of this. Now, obviously, going into a press conference today.
Yeah, it will not be today.
That will not be today, but this Canadian whiskey has made it over to the Casa de Cole Coffee, and we will get into this on a future episode.
Ooh, we can do Monday because there's nothing Monday night.
I like where your head's at.
For the end and a half?
For the end and a half. We might do that.
Yeah, we'll tap into that maybe.
We'll tap into this. So I want to thank him for that. But I want to give a shout out to his wife. So he lives up in Canada, but as luck would have it, his wife had a conference at Mandalay Bay. She's actually already gone. I was like, we could have just gone there today.
But
it was earlier in the week. She was having a conference at Mandalay Bay, and he's like, hey, if I send something, a little care package for you and Cole Coffee, would you mind going down to Mandalay and picking it up for my wife? And I was like, of course I don't mind that. So I went there and met her the other morning to share that memento. For Gally, if you're listening, which I hope you are, and I'm sure you are, I will tell you that my family absolutely loved the memento that you created, man. It was super, super cool. They both got emotional over it. It was very nice. And me and Cole Coffee will get emotional.
It's a nice looking bottle
over
of whiskey.
Bottle of whiskey. You know what I'm saying? This is a big one.
I know.
It's not that 750. This is a 1.14 liter.
That'd take up some real estate in the luggage.
Ooh, I know, right? It was a big one, so I want to thank him for that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Lastly, you touched on the and a half, which we'll certainly have on Monday afternoon, breaking down the pay-per-view. We might do it over a nice little bottle of whiskey, it sounds like, which would make it even more exciting. Maybe I'll just Uber over here, you know what I mean? We'll see how that goes. And then next week, we still got to nail it all down because I am taking a red eye on Wednesday night to Philadelphia for the aforementioned CFFC 140. But it is episode number 520.
Look at that.
That will mark 10 consecutive years.
10 years. The very first show was April 5th, 10 years ago.
2015. We're not even in the
do
whiskey
the
yet.
Do the math, people. I just know it was April 5th. Yeah, because I looked it up and I was like, you just assume it's going to be on the same date or whatever.
Yeah, because no. I guess with leap years and we've changed dates.
We've had multiple leap years, yeah, right? Because it's what, every 4 years? We've had two of them.
That changes some things. And
yeah, that does like just crazy things to the algorithm of math.
Yeah. 10 years, though. It'll
10
I mean, if you consider that it's a 52-week year.
Yeah.
Then 52 times 10, 520. It's 10 years. So it's not the anniversary of it. Like you said, another month would be the 10-year calendar anniversary. Yeah. But 10 years.
10 years worth of episodes.
Of episodes. That's crazy, man.
Crazy.
My kids, they're going to be a teenager in 2 months. He was just a baby at the time.
Unreal.
My wife still liked me back then. That's. I'm just kidding. She never liked me. jokes. We got jokes. We got jokes on a Thursday afternoon.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to tapping into that on Monday. Right. But yeah, which makes even more sense because then it'll be a celebration whiskey. There might be some singing that night.
Oh,
goodness. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this. Fight week and whiskey on Monday. Shoot.
That's life.
That's life, man. Let's go.
All right. Guys, everybody, enjoy the weekend. We'll be back. Everybody, support us over at patreon.com/CMAroadshow. We certainly appreciate that. Our friends over at CloudBet, the official sports book of the PFL. Karate Combat and the MMA Roadshow. We appreciate them supporting us, and we appreciate all of you. Thanks for listening.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. at participating U.S. Wendy's.